Radio Real presents Grid Talk with Ziggy Figaro, the Desmond Chang interview. For the next 45 minutes, join us for a special presentation of Information Week's Grid Talk, recorded live on December the 18th, 2007 at Dr. Dobbs Island, in which Ziggy Figaro of Information Week magazine interviews the governor and founder of Second Life's independent state of Caledon, Mr. Desmond Chang. This programme has been made possible by kind permission of CMP, Information Week, Grid Talk, and both Mr. Chang and Mr. Figaro. Due to the limitations of the Second Life voice medium, this recording has been edited for technical reasons and does not reach our standard broadcast quality. The Desmond Chang interview.
Thanks for joining us for Grid Talk this morning. I'm your host, Ziggy Figaro. In real life, I'm Mitch Wagner, executive editor of InformationWeek.com. Before we like to get started, I'd like to thank our co-hosts, Dr. Dobbs Journal, specifically John Zhaoyang and Rissa Maidstone. Our guest today is Desmond Chang, a.k.a. the Governor, founder of Caledon, a Victorian steampunk-themed area that's one of the most popular in Second Life. We'll be talking to Desmond about the history and a little description of Caledon and try to learn from it how to create a little bit of compelling content in Second Life. Thanks for joining us today, Desmond.
Glad to. You're welcome.
Okay. We'll be taking questions throughout the program. Please IM me if you want to ask a question or just type your question into the chat channel. So let's just dive right in then, shall we? Desmond, tell us a little bit about how you came to found Caledon, how you got started with that.
Oh my, there's a story. Began back about August 2005. I'd opened a small business doing a very paradoxical kind of thing, making antiques for a world that wasn't very old. A thing that wouldn't really seem to make any sense at all because gambling and sex and all those sorts of things are going very well in here and not much else as far as I could tell.
Okay. What kind of antiques were you making?
Things like lamps, chairs, whatnot. Very traditional, stuffy-looking things.
Okay. And how'd that go over?
It went over amazingly well. Started out making a few things and getting skepticism and comments for the first month or two, and then right about, I'd say, November 2005, it really took off. It hit about 200,000 L a month by December, January, in there.
Okay.
I'm not sure why.
Then what was your next step after that? Why'd you get out of the antiques business?
Well, it was a couple of things. One idea that I had, since I was accumulating all this, I thought, well, I could probably float a region with the income off it. My original goal was to make $25 a month worth so I could float my parcel, and if I couldn't do that in a year, I was going to get out. Just live humbly.
Okay. Be a homeless waif in Second Life.
Pretty much, yes.
And you managed to exceed that?
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay. And you were also involved in selling tulips?
Yes, the tulip thing. Back before I realized how easy it was for content to be duplicated on the grid, I thought perhaps I could make a little fun economic test. I sold 99 tulips for 10 lindens each. They were snapped up.
Okay.
They started to go for much more than they were worth, obviously, just due to rarity. This is an interesting experiment, but now they're pretty much, they found homes and they're not moving anywhere.
You've got the antiques business going, you've got the tulips business going. What did you do next?
Just a quick point of note, I've sworn never to make another tulip on the grid so they'd hold the value, so I'm out of the tulips business.
Okay.
As for what's next, Caledon kept me pretty occupied, so I may be doing a couple of colonies if Caledon continues to do well, but other than that, I think this is where I'm at on the grid. I'm not going to be doing much more.
Okay. So after you were in the antiques business and you were in the tulips business, what was your next step back then?
I'd saved up from my business enough to get the first region, and the idea was that the content business would pay for it all, and I'd get maybe three or four people to help me offset some of the incredible tier, which is at that time $195 a month.
Okay.
Daunting number.
And that was the birth of Caledon?
It was. I'd started out, I'd offered it for rental. And, within a couple of weeks, I had a waiting list of about 50 people. I was very surprised.
Okay. Why a Victorian theme in particular?
A couple of reasons, actually. One is that it was sort of in line with the antiques I was doing, and I started in a PG sim. Things were sort of normalish. It was in line with what I was doing with the products at the time with my West Trade.
Okay.
I didn't see myself making it as someone selling Excite products, let me put it that way.
Excuse me. But why Victorian in particular? I mean, it just... The appeal of that has been one of the great mysteries of Second Life to me. Even though I feel the appeal myself, it's appealing to me as well. But why are you drawn to that, and why do you think so many people are drawn to that?
A couple of things. One, it was almost complete opposite of anything else going on the grid. Almost a complete rejection of anything that was cool. secondly... And this, I'm not sure if anyone's heard of someone named Prokofy Neva.
Vaguely once or twice.
I was reading along in the forums one day, and I saw Prokofy lament that all people wanted to do was have their little Victorian houses and live their little lives.
But, okay. So you thought you'd give them the tools to create their little Victorian houses and live their simple lives.
I don't know, it just sort of struck me, so I did.
Okay. So tell me a little bit about what are some of the things that go on in Caledon.
Oh my. Actually, let's see, to answer a quick question, Prokofy was one of the founding members.
Okay.
Pretty much everything goes on. We have an incredible... JJ. we've got an incredible content creation community. For instance, when this first started, there was very little indecent clothing for regular folks on the grid. Just
I think there's always been indecent clothing on the grid. Oh, wait, that's not what you meant.
But precisely the opposite. It was very hard to find normal things. That did well for some of our content creation people. We had some key figures come, such as Ordinal Malaprop and some others.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of normalcy that went on.
Okay.
We have our drama and our personal lives are really no different from anywhere else in most regards.
Do you think that maybe the accessibility of Victorian role-playing was part of it? I mean, most people in the world, even outside of Second Life, are already pretty familiar with the Victorian era. It kind of saturates mainstream pop culture.
I think that was a great help. I also think if anyone came to Caledon, they pretty much expected that they would be treated politely and nicely, and that's huge.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm sorry, we got a little sidetracked here. We were starting to talk about some of the activities going on, some of the major activities that go on in Caledon.
With regard to that, I'd probably say our very biggest event and activity... if you look at the groups, you'll find the Caledon Library is by far and away one of our most popular. And I'm very glad to say our librarian is in the audience here, Master J.J. Drinkwater.
Well, welcome, J.J.
Let's see, 33 at Sims at the moment. With regard to events, we've had everything from compliment duels to storytelling at Aldo's Pub to all manner of... it goes on and on and on.
Okay, so what goes on at the library?
Let me see if I don't blow that question with regard to JJ, who knows far more than I do.
Okay.
Yeah, as the audience is pointing out...
I can answer it for you, Des, if you like.
Gosh... JJ, sure, jump in.
Please.
All right, well, we have rotating collections, not rotating in the scripted sense, but we have collections that we display on a rotating basis, as well as having a general collection that's there all the time. We have exhibits that run 6 to 8 weeks on all manner of things that are interesting to Victorian role players or, you know, students of the imaginary 19th century. We've had one on Lexington, Kentucky's most notorious madam, Belle Brezing. We've had the designs of a local couturier. We had one on the Brownings. We host Book of the Month discussions on mostly canonical works from the 19th century, mostly novels. We host storytelling sessions at a local pub. We've had lectures on steam technology, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We had a mad tea party recently for Alice in Wonderland.
Okay. That sounds great, JJ. Do you have, what's the name of your group? I assume that's what's
the Caledon Library, and it's invitation only, but I'm happy to add people who I am me. Our book discussion group is Literary Reference du Jour, and that's open enrollment.
Okay. I'm making a note of that myself, for after this meeting, because it sounds pretty interesting. So, Desmond, you mentioned compliment duels. What are those?
Yes. Again, JJ might be a bit better prepared to answer, but the way you win would be you give better compliments to your opponent than they can.
Okay. JJ, you want to kind of put you on the spot again? What's the story behind the compliment duels?
This compliment duel was actually a rematch. The first duel was a haiku duel. These were both fundraisers for Relay for Life. Your humble narrator and Caledon notable Colonel Exric Somm decided to do a face-off as an RFL fundraisers, and people could vote with their Linden contributions for who should win. And we had so much fun with the haiku duel that... we decided to do a rematch as a compliment duel to promote the spirit of civility in Caledon. Somewhere here I have a free-to-copy think book about the haiku duel that I will set out for anyone else who wants to take copies.
Okay. So, Desmond, is Caledon a business for you?
Well, it actually is getting to that point. I think anything doing this well, I really have to take seriously at this point. And I have. I've gotten my CPA involved, and I've dotted the I's and crossed the T's.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what's as a business, what's your revenue model?
The revenue model, believe it or not, and I'm embarrassed to say, it's mostly... the entry business model, say about 80%, where it's land for Linden dollars.
Okay.
Converted to tier. Were I not to be expanding hard numbers, 37%, I believe, 37% would come my way if I weren't buying more Sims and subsidizing and getting more content and so on and so forth.
Okay, so you're basically putting any profits back into Caledon at this point.
I've had to take out some because you can't really justify this amount of time without taking out some.
Mm-hmm. So at this point, I'd like to remind the audience that we're open to questions here. Just IM me or type them in. So anyway,
There were a number of questions there. Did you want to moderate them, Ziggy, or shall I just take them?
Take whichever ones appeal to you.
I'll try to go in order here. Bear with me as I scroll back.
Okay.
Let's see, business model. The business model is basically Linden dollars coming in at approximately the rate that mainland tier costs, and then using the tier discount to support the region and get a little bit more for safety and for me.
Okay.
The reason I'm embarrassed to say is because even though I don't use the words buy and own, I think the land business has a great stigma to it with regard to what is bought, what is owned, and all this and that. I don't use such words myself in the business of land. The question, what is the name of the group to join? That would be Independent State of Caledon. If you search Caledon in groups and then look for the largest group, it's the one with about 700 members. Basically, anybody who IMs me is welcome and gets added.
Okay. Here's an interesting question from Sulfur Sign Sternvog. How much infrastructure do you create for a sim versus relying on resident-created content?
I can answer fairly easily. I create about 6%, which is mostly roads and lamps and fairly inconsequential things. The other 94-95% is everyone else.
Okay. Another question here. Do you find it hard to really follow any business model in here because of such fast growth rate?
I've basically been following market demand, lagging a little bit just for security. I'm not quite sure what is meant by following any business model. However, balancing the books is something I certainly do. Should there ever be a problem, I'd take steps.
Okay. What are your future plans and directions at this point, Desmond?
If the market holds out, I'll be expanding Caledon by another five regions or so. And then, believe it or not, that's going to be pretty much it for Caledon. I may add some voids, but there is such a thing as being too big. I don't want to kill the... I can't become Dreamland. It wouldn't work, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm. Why do you want to cap it there rather than keep growing to meet demand?
Well, I'm presuming demand will be met. There's a couple of reasons. First of all, one of the reasons Caledon works is because I have a personal relationship with just about everybody there. They all know me. They all talk to me. I make sure that everyone gets personal, direct access to me as much as I possibly can, and I can only be spread so thin.
Okay. Were there other reasons?
Well, it was mainly between that and aesthetics. Caledon just wouldn't be right if it was too big.
Okay.
Answer the most directly, if demand is still off the charts, I may open a colony or two, but nothing nearly the size of Caledon. And I'm just not in the business of becoming Anshi. It's just too much.
Okay. When you say colony, what do you mean? Is that differentiated from what you've been doing now?
It would be much like a colony, much like Caledon, but say like a crown colony.
Okay. We have a question from Shambles Guru Voom. Wants to know if you have any recommendations for specific software or applications to collect rents. Yeah, rent collection software or applications.
What I've done is I've used Moonshine Herb's Rent-O-Matic, which is, it's been on the grid perhaps 3 years. It predates Caledon significantly, and it is not one of these fancy rental systems at all. It's just very validated. I know all its quirks, and it works. It's probably better out there.
Yeah, it's the case with most software tools everywhere, I think. You pick what works, even though there might be better stuff out there. So Desmond, next question here. This is a big one. And when we talked in the past, I know you had a little difficulty answering it. And I'm wondering if you might be able to do better this time. What do you think makes a successful community in Second Life?
That's a hard question, but I think the answer is sitting in the audience. It's all these people here. It's nothing I could really convince anyone to do. I couldn't wave a hand and say, thou shalt now create a wonderful community. It just doesn't work that way.
Okay.
If I were to say anything, I would say it would be personal freedom and the right to be oneself and function in society and not have someone being too dictatious of how they should be, how they should dress or act.
Okay. If you've got somebody coming into Second Life and that person is saying, well, I'd like to start a community here, which certainly many businesses do, what would you say they should be doing? Are there any rules they should be following?
Yes, I have a good bit of advice, and that would be run away, run away, run away. I got into this as a passionate hobby. I had no intention of having people do anything, really. Passion and creates, it's infectious. When people do something together, it's very infectious. A primary example, if I could take us back to a place on the grid, would be Nexus Prime. You'll notice there that it was a highly collaborative project. People got into it. They all strove to be as good as they could be, grow together. And maybe it's not as large as Caledon, but if you look at maybe the ones that aren't so chatty as mine, you'll see the real heart of it right there.
Okay. What is Nexus Prime?
Prime is, I would say, the original cyberpunk community in Second Life and probably one of the shining examples of collaborative building on the grid, bar none. You've got incredibly talented people there, and you've got people who became incredibly talented. For one, I would mention Neil Bakru Galidis and his Sims The Wastelands. Almost the dead exact opposite of Caledon. In fact, they joke that they use Victorian furniture for firewood there.
Oh, no.
Very, 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 very good group.
Okay.
And again, when you talk about community, you'll see it there. But it starts with passionate love of what they're doing, openness. Right. It's just it's not anything that someone who started The Sims really does. It's something that just sort of comes together.
Okay. When you say it's not anything that someone who started The Sims has done, what do you mean?
I think there's a million ways to kill off interest in your region, but probably no one recipe to make it right. Just a lot of ways to make it go wrong.
Oh, that sounds like fun. What a fun avenue of discussion. What are some good ways to kill off interest in your region?
I have a joke. I've threatened to do this many times. I was going to jokingly create a region called Republica Blinktardia. And it would have very strict rules. It would have ad farms. It would have bling. It would have escorts and dancers. And rigged casinos, you name it. And with that, I think you could drive almost anyone off.
Yeah, I'm on my home, the land I have my home on. I'm always threatening to my landlord that I'm going to open Ziggy Figaro's erotic age play escort service and blingatorium. Just because I think that would be the perfect neighbor for anybody to have in a residential community. What are some other good ways to kill a sim?
Another way is, I think people pretty much can be known by their friends. If you create a region and set yourself up as a king or have some obscure social rules or whatnot, you're probably going to get what you deserve.
Okay. Another question for you. Have you, by any chance, have you read The Diamond Age by Neal Stephenson?
I actually did. I was told to read it about a year after I started Caledon, and that was fun.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a personal interest in Victorian history and Victoriana that predates your involvement in Second Life?
Me, personally, not really. My mother was from Devon, but other than that, I'm a California boy.
And how did you get into Second Life to begin with?
I'd seen it way, way long time ago. I was here as a noob back in 2003, but I really didn't get into it. I was involved in other in life, and I just wanted to doodle. And basically, I went up on a platform and started doodling, and next thing I knew, Bub Linden came by and wanted a picture of my little house. And it was in Newsweek in October 2005 as a little picture.
Yeah. I'm amazed by when I talk to some of the most respected and well-liked and people and leaders in the Second Life community, how many of them say they just got in. They said, I just figured I'd try it out, sit in a corner alone somewhere and, you know, build some stuff. Like you did.
Really master plan.
Yeah. We have another question from Shambles Guru Voom, whether there are any available guidelines that are given to potential new tenants, guidelines or expectations for living there. What's in your covenant?
There's all kinds of things, but basically just be nice and don't hurt anybody or don't scam or don't, you know.
Okay.
I don't do any social engineering whatsoever.
What other virtual worlds were you into way back when, 2003 to 2005? You indicated that you were into some others.
There.com, I tried Lineage 2. I was very big in Lineage 2, getting into that. I was over in Active Worlds, although I'd never signed up. I was amazingly a noob. I was most notably a griefer in Lineage 2.
Oh no! So you're an example of a bad boy gone good. Then it's like that old Boys Town movie.
I never said I'd gone good, sir.
Another interesting question coming in from the audience. What are the advantages and disadvantages of Sims versus and Islands versus the mainland?
Islands versus the mainland. Would one really want to be asking a land baron with land available such a question? Actually, I've got a great deal of respect for the mainland, more than you might think. I think the differences between that and the state land are pretty clear.
Mm-hmm.
I think the main reason why something like Caledon succeeded were people who tried this on the mainland. You would be talking to someone entirely different if it were possible to expand on the mainland easily. Mm-hmm. I'd be a footnote, and they would be the person sitting here. So I think it's more notoriety than anything else that private islands get you.
Okay. So are you looking at any other virtual worlds now, currently?
Actually, I had been. I took a look at Vast Park. I took a look at a couple of other technologies, such as Croquet, but I'm not moving. There's an expression I use. I say people over prims. That extends to worlds, too. I really don't see any value in uprooting a community. I think it would be a horrible, horrible thing to do. And if the community wanted to move, I'd go with them, perhaps. But I'm not going to try to pull such a stunt where I'd move or anything such as that.
Okay. Yeah, what was the Mahatma Gandhi quote? He said, I have to leave you now because my people are going somewhere and I must go lead them. Yeah, he was making a point that a leader The leader follows the followers rather than telling them what to do.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Well, I'm not really a leader. I'm basically just the land guy. In fact, many here could tell you how incredibly unsocial I am because I'm running around like a waiter on roller skates taking care of people, not making proclamations.
So another interesting question from Shambles Guru Voom wants to know what educators are doing in Caledon, if anything.
Doing. We've had that, and I'm horribly embarrassed. There's a wonderful lady in Kittiwick that has a class, and there's another one. The library has some. I know JJ could probably fill us in some more on that. There's also NCI. I absolutely cannot leave them out, and that's very in-world education, if that's allowed to count. Carl Metropolitan of NCI has done an amazing job, along with Tataru and all the rest, to bring people into this world, to give them educations of how to work in this world, okay. How to function in this world. I could go on for hours about NCI and what they've done.
Well, maybe not for hours, but if you want to go on for a few minutes more, what are some of the things that NCI is doing?
One of the first things they did is they took over the Caledon Academy of Wizardry, and they began offering education and courses there, and it was an amazing hit, very, very popular. It brought a sort of life to the area, a purpose. It's great to have a university sort of thing in your region. Then later they expanded to have Nova Civis Caledon, which is a region basically designed with them in mind. We worked together on it and collaborated. And also the Caledon Library did the same. And they have huge traffic there. It's absolutely wonderful. They do classes. They basically take care of people all over the grid and teaching them how to do things. And it's good to be a part of that.
Okay. So you said that there's the Academy of Wizards, was it? What do they teach there?
It was first named whimsically the Caledon Academy of Virtual Wizardry, which... Okay. It actually never got off the ground because I was just too busy. I wanted to do something similar to NCI, but NCI does it better, more effectively, with more passion. The only right thing to do was turn it over to them. And the moment I did, it took off gangbusters.
Okay. Yeah, I recently rediscovered NCI. I think it was after you and I last talked. I hung around there a bit. When I was just logging in, when I was a noob, as they say, and rediscovered it recently. It's really a good little place. I'm always looking for places to go where you can just strike up a conversation with people, and that's a great place to do it, I think.
It was Philip Linden that said, if you make a friend, you become involved in the world, and you become invested in it, not financially, but personally. And that's all the difference.
Yeah. We have a question, a really good question from Blue Revolution here. What does Caledon have tours for people who are interested in learning more about the sim?
Does. And I'm so glad you asked that. Erasmus Margulis, I'll type out the name, has set up some tours for the Winterfest. And if you contact Erasmus Margulis, he'd be the person. I think it's the first one start out from the region of Caledon Kintyre. Thank you, JJ. Ordinal made an attempt to have a tour balloon. However, the tour balloon, after we hit six or eight sims and it was taking half an hour, it just got away.
So what are your favorite places in Second Life, both in Caledon and elsewhere?
Favorite places. Let's see. I don't dare. I do have favorites. I'll say that. I very most definitely do. But if I start choosing among residents, well, that would be really let's see. some things are a shade obvious. People do know that I really like Persephone's theater and Caledon Penzance. She's professional Broadway, and if anyone's seen that, it's a dream come true. It's an absolutely stunning place. In addition to that, I really don't want to get too particular, lest I create drama. Outside of Caledon, one of the places I greatly respect is Seacliff. If anyone's seen the region Seacliff on the mainland, with Falling Water and Eddie and Ray, that is one of the most shining examples of how to do a region right.
What's great about it?
One of the great things about Seacliff is that you've got people who are passionate about what they've done. They've created a wonderful environment there. It's natural. It's persistent. It's been there for years. It changes from time to time. And areas give you a certain vibe. If you go into an area like Caledon, my goal is to have a vibe that's polite, nice, that you feel welcome absolutely everywhere. If you go into Seacliff, it has an almost magical sense about it. It's like someone playing nice music. It's very hard to describe. There's other things. Once in a while, people will catch me with friends, like say I'll pop over and visit Elise or such like. But I don't want to talking up a land baron sitting in our audience, maybe outside. Elise is an old friend of mine, as is Big Mike and Sue and all the rest.
Okay. Tell us a little bit more about Persephone's Theater.
Persephone's Theater is actually modeled on a number of real-world theaters of the era. It's actually, I'll slip a secret, it's actually early 20th century.
Oh, no.
Which just fits. It fits, if anyone's seen it. She's duplicated everything from the bad sight lines of old theater to some of the slightly irreverent vaudeville acts. And recently I was approached by, what was the fellow's last name? Horatios, an Argentine, who plays Argentine music. He's got a live band, and I believe he's touring the grid for Linden's. I truly hope they're not living off it, but they might be. Horatios Allen, I think it is. And he set up, and we had the shamanes there at her theater, and sadly I couldn't make it, but it was just wild having these Argentines do a performance. Oh, is it coming up this week? Okay, well, we'll come see Horatius and the Argentines playing at the Gaiety Theater.
What are they going to be doing?
They've got some traditional Argentine music. They've got some modern stuff, and they also do I think some modern things. But I think we selected what did we do, Gabby? Radio Riel is sponsoring them in, I think.
Okay. Yeah,
in fact, Gabrielle, I'll pimp your business a little. Then, what's your stream?
Okay.
Anyway, sure. I don't want to get too commercial on you here.
Yeah, Gabrielle, if you want to give us a little information about what you're doing in the chat channel in text, that'll be fine. Please do. And while you're doing that, we have another question from Scarlett Chi, I guess would be the pronunciation of the last name, Q-I, asking you to talk a little bit about your recent connection of Caledon to Winterfell.
Right. Winterfell is run by Sarah and Nancy, who's an old friend of mine. And basically, we thought it would be more fun to add a world. I'd tried things of this nature in the past, but for instance, Jessica Keane is an old friend of mine, the person who runs IBM. And we talked about linking up IBM and Caledon at one point. Chin. Yes. And Jessica Chin. We were about to do that. We had plans to do that, except we had incredibly negative reactions from linking up IBM and Caledon. Most people in Caledon said, "Oh my God, Desmond, are you selling out to a corporation?" And most people in IBM said, "Oh no, security." So we had to nix that, sadly. There was also, I'll confess, there was a little bit of competitive pressure. There was some other regions thinking, "Hey, let's make a world." And basically, a couple of things I've done were just to basically make a more compelling world, which is what we've done by linking to Winterfell. If one could quantify it, it would be more fun to be able to go to more regions.
Okay. So when you talk about linking up, what do you mean?
It's to sim adjacent. We have a little international border now, and you can now travel back and forth. I've pushed away other people linking up to me for some time now, because basically, had I allowed anyone who wanted to link up to Caledon, we'd be one tiny sim in a sea of others.
Okay. So why'd you pick Winterfell in particular, then?
Winterfell, because I've known Sarah for a long time, and she's one of my state managers. And basically, it was someone I could trust not to sell out and to become Blinktardia tomorrow.
What is the theme for Winterfell? Is that based on the George R. R. Martin novels, or?
I wish Sarah was here, because I'm almost positive I'm going to get this wrong. Perhaps JJ can help me a little bit with defining. Winterfell is more of a dark aesthetic. It's quiet. It's introspective. It's insightful. It's a bit medieval at the core and a bit dark Victorian on the Caledon border. You can see the cultural blend as you come toward the border.
If Caledon is the mythic British Empire, Winterfell is the mythic knight. It's, you know, the unseelie court of the Fae and everyone's fantasies about the magic of the Middle Ages as it never was. Beautifully executed, may I say.
Okay.
Winterfell is, and that's one of our neighbors. I've got some other outstanding invites to some other regions to join up with us. However, that's all still in the works. Let's see. One of the regions I've offered is Lovelace, run by Coyote Angel Dim Sum, who is also an estate manager in Caledon. In addition to that, Kendra Bancroft of New Altenburg of Ulrika Zugzwang fame. They have a standing invite.
Do we have any more questions from the audience?
I'm very sorry to hear that, Xantha. It's certainly not required. If you've had any trouble, I do apologize.
Yeah, it's not really that hard to do Victorian speak. If you've watched Disney movies, you can pick it up pretty easily. Call someone, use honor titles, don't use contractions, say things like good day.
One thing I'd like to emphasize, just so experiences like Xantha's aren't repeated, there's absolutely no requirement to speak or dress in any way whatsoever. We have avatar rights, which means that you can speak any way you please within obvious reason. And you can dress any way you like. You can be who you are. And it's written into our covenant. You are not required to be anyone you're not. Many people have asked me or apologized. Many, many people have apologized about not being dressed properly or whatever to me when they show up. And I say, you know what? It's fine. It's in our covenant. You do not have to. You're simply someone from somewhere else.
Okay. Do we have any other questions?
I'll try to answer the one I kind of skipped. With regard to vendor opportunities, we do have plenty of if you want to start a shop there, you certainly can. I don't really have any requirements on what's sold and not sold. Within reason. I can't imagine anything I'd turn away. Although generally people don't do very well if they run. I had someone try to start an escort service once, and it just didn't fly. Didn't work in Caledon.
Okay, so I guess my Blingatorium isn't going to be moving there anytime soon.
Good try, sir.
Okay. Well, it's 11 o'clock, so let's wrap up the formal portion of our discussion here. That concludes Grid Talk for today. We're going to skip Grid Talk the next couple of Tuesdays because it's Christmas and New Year's Day. However, we plan to continue with the Friday Grid Talks during that period, and we'll be back with Tuesday Grid Talk on January 8th. Till then, happy holidays. Thanks to you and the audience for joining us, and a special thanks to our guest, Desmond Chang. As always, I'll be hanging around a few more minutes, and you're all welcome to do the same.
Thank you very much, Mitch.
Thank you again.
You've been listening to the Grid Talk Desmond Chang interview recorded at Dr. Dobbs Island on December the 18th, 2007. The interviewer was Ziggy Figaro. The program was made possible by kind permission of CMP, Information Week, Grid Talk, and both Mr. Chang and Mr. Figaro, and the program was produced and presented by Elric Merlin and was a Brideswell production for Radio Real. For more about Radio Real's regular and special events programming, visit the website at www.radioreal.org. That's www.radioreal.org. Thank you for listening.